Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Lenore Wright. Dr. Wright is the director of the Academy of Teaching and Learning at Baylor and an associate professor of interdisciplinary studies and philosophy. The Academy of Teaching and Learning's mission is to globally support and inspire a flourishing community of learning and locally to integrate teaching, scholarship, collegiality, and service in a Christian environment. In her role as director, she facilitates faculty development programs and acts as a liaison with other leaders across campus. A widely published author and researcher, she helps facilitate student research and empowers students to help them recognize the important role that they play in university life. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, and we're glad to have you on the program. Dr. Lenore Wright, welcome to Baylor Connections.
Thank you, Derek. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is great to have you here, and there's a number of different directions we could go, but let's just start off by looking back now a little over a decade of the Academy of Teaching and Learning, celebrating its 10th anniversary last year. Right. As you looked back at the first decade of the organization, what brought you the most pride?
Oh, gosh. Several things come to mind. And thank you for mentioning our anniversary. We've been celebrating all year. Our formal commemoration consisted of a day-long teaching symposium last October. And I'm delighted to announce that Pickwick Publications has agreed to publish an edited volume of all the faculty papers that we heard throughout the day.
Oh, wow.
And then we plan to give a copy of that collection to all incoming cohorts of faculty in the future. So they'll get a sense of the great, rich heritage of teaching at Baylor and hopefully find a way to contribute to that legacy themselves.
What are examples of some of the topics they can read about in that once it's published?
We had some real practical things of how to navigate student discussion in the classroom, how to foster it, how to manage it, these kinds of things. Dr. Andy Arterberry and Truitt raised some questions around that. Are there any bad student questions, for example, he asked? Are there only good questions? You know, how do we discern that and then direct conversation in helpful ways? So that's one example. Others, for example, Dr. Can, who lives with students, talked about forming community in this living learning environment. So how do you take what we do in the classroom?
And she's a faculty in residence.
She is, and she's wonderful. And so that was delightful to hear her presentation. Roger Kirk, a master teacher who will retire this year. He was studied by a colleague, Alex Bojan, in psych and neuroscience. And so Alex shared the characteristics of master teaching that he saw in Dr. Kirk, and he's now published that, and he's allowed us to republish it in this edited volume.
Wow.
So I'm just excited that we've had this moment to stop and say, wow, 10 years, even though we were the last of the Big 12 schools to have a Center for Teaching and Learning, here we are flourishing and thriving 10 years in.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'm most proud of, very practically, is participation rates in Academy for Teaching and Learning events. Over the last 5 years, we've tripled the number of instructors who are engaging in our program. So I'm just very proud of that. And I give credit to my great colleagues, Christopher and Craig, in the ATL, as well as our great advisory council, support from the provost's office, all the way up to the president. Really, the affirmation is there and the support is there. I'm also very proud of the fellowship programs that we have in the Academy for Teaching and Learning, and those are distinctive to Baylor. So Gardner Campbell, who started as director of the ATL, he was here from 2008 to 2011. He started a graduate fellows program, so an opportunity for graduate students, future faculty, to come together with the ATL and contribute to the work that we're doing in teaching and learning. That's continued. Christopher Rich, and my colleague, oversees that program. But since then, we've added a faculty fellows program called the Baylor Fellows.
Mm-hmm.
It's very prestigious. The deans at Baylor, the advisory council members, former fellows all nominate their colleagues who they know exhibit excellent teaching and embody the spirit of transformational education. And then the provost selects the 10 who serve annually as Baylor Fellows. So they receive the title of Baylor Fellows. They receive an honorarium of $1,845. You know what that symbolizes.
Yes. Baylor's founding.
Exactly. And then they experiment in one of their classes. We've added to that now an ATL postdoctoral fellow in STEM education, and that's a national faculty search. We have it ongoing right now to replace Dr. Michael Moore, an integrative biologist who will leave us this year as he wraps up his fellowship at Baylor. So those fellows programs, I think, have really helped bring the ATL to a new level of enrichment and investment in teaching at Baylor. So I'm really proud of those things.
So a little over 10 years, you've been a major part of that, certainly, as you said, starting 2011, I believe.
Right, as interim director for a couple of years. Yeah.
And now director. What was it for you personally that really spurs or sparks that interest in not just serving students, but your colleagues here at Baylor?
Yeah, oh, that's a great question. Early in my undergraduate career, I had a mentor, George McFarlane Lucky Jr., great name. He goes by Mac. He's still living. He's not in great health, and so I'm in contact with him regularly, but he's been a formative person in my life. And Mac was really active in the critical thinking movement of the 1990s. He just got very excited about it and brought it to his undergraduate campus. It was predominantly an undergraduate institution committed to the liberal arts education. And so Mac, I guess I was a freshman in his honors course, so he directed the honors program, was also a philosopher. And he started an undergraduate, what he called peer advisor program, and the aim was for select students to co-teach with faculty members, which was unheard of in the 90s, at least at this institution, and to also then teach their peers. So Mac invited me as a sophomore undergraduate to serve as a kind of pilot peer advisor and co-teach an age of classicism class, an honors class with him. And we did that, and that was really a spark for me of working with him and co-teaching as a sophomore, and then also helping my peers, my colleagues in the class. In this case, they were first-year students, and I was a second-year student. But really to help them master some texts that I cared about that, you know, were philosophical in nature, Aristotle, Plato, et cetera, things like this. So that was the spark for me, Mac Lucky. And then he also allowed me to co-present with him at regional national honors conferences. So it brought me into the academic life, and it also introduced me to the value of development of others.
We are visiting with Dr. Lenore Wright, Director of the Academy of Teaching and Learning at Baylor. And Dr. Wright, the Academy of Teaching and Learning, we'll call it ATL for short, as you did. But it describes a virtuous cycle within the heart of the university. What is that virtuous cycle, and what does that look like in practice?
Yeah. For me, I interpret the virtuous cycle as the reciprocity between teaching and learning. We learn, we faculty, we teachers, we learn so that we can teach, and we teach so that students will learn. And it's that cycle, it's that process of students and faculty coming together to form a community of learning that sustains spontaneous learning. And some of that, my thinking about that has been informed by Jerome Bruner, who's an educational theorist. He wrote a book in the 60s called Toward a Theory of Instruction. And there he argues that learning, or the will to learn, is natural, it's intrinsic. And one of the things, he says, that sustains it is this web of social reciprocity. And so for me, that's what that cycle is. It's forming this experience of reciprocity, of giving to one another, of sharing with one another, again, with the aim of sustaining learning.
Now, Dr. Wright, Baylor is blessed with hundreds of fantastic professors across campus. What are some of the ways that you help, the ATL works with faculty to help, the best become even better?
Yeah, that's also a great question, Derek. One of the things we do as staff in the ATL is to develop ourselves. So we engage in professional development so that we can stay abreast of the field of scholarship of teaching and learning, of high-impact practices et cetera. So we're engaged in several conferences and networks, the POD conference, the Lilly conference, which is devoted to teaching. There's a Big 12 consortium of centers for teaching and learning. We meet annually and share ideas and discuss administrative issues and concerns, changes in educational policy practices, et cetera. So that first, that's what we do. That as staff, we have to be the best professionals we can be to inform and share our share with our colleagues. The other thing we do is design opportunities for our expert faculty members to lead others. So we design workshops that they will be teaching, seminars they'll run, in collaboration with schools, with academic units, et cetera. So just allow the faculty to step forward and shine and do what they do best, and show what they can do. And then externally, I certainly seek to promote faculty experts and enrichment opportunities that match their interests. So, for example, this year, Matt Russell and Molly Hatcher of the University of Texas approached me about the Big 12 Fellowship that we have. Said, do you have any faculty member who might be interested in coming to the University of Texas and sharing and collaborating? And so I immediately thought of Dr. Anne Marie Schultz, who's director of the Baylor Interdisciplinary Corps, as well as a professor of philosophy. And so it got them in contact with one another, and sure enough, UT said, we're very interested in bringing Anne here to share what she does best in terms of faculty development and enrichment. And then she contacted Baylor, and Baylor said, we absolutely support this kind of a collaborative work, and great. So now Anne is named a Big 12 Fellow, and she'll begin the work of in there. So that's just one example of the ways in which we hope to promote and advance our faculty across the nation. So outside of Baylor, push beyond what we do here.
Maybe this is a very practical question, but you think of how busy faculty are as they teach, they prepare their lectures, they grade, they work with students. How do you sort of work these into that schedule? You know the schedule because you live it. What does that look like? Because you know the demands on our professors.
Yeah, and there are seasons to one's academic career, even annually. And so Anne Marie, for example, said, I can only do this in the summer. And it has to be a summer when she's not co-facilitating the Summer Faculty Institute, which she does regularly. And so this summer worked out. But absolutely, again, it's my job to know who our faculty are, to know what they do well, to look for those opportunities externally as well as internally, and try to match people with those opportunities. And yes, and you're right, in the context of particular seasons of a career as well as the academic calendar.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Lenore Wright, Director of the Academy of Teaching and Learning at Baylor. And Dr. Wright, what aspects of this program do you wish you'd been able to draw on at the beginning of your career? Are there things that you think, boy, if I had been able to take part in that early on, that had been fantastic?
Yeah, I think the Provost Faculty Forum, which started under Elizabeth Davis when she was provost, it's a lunch series that brings together faculty across campus to discuss, again, over lunch for an hour, particular issues of interest. There's always a faculty leader who starts the conversation, and that's shared. We're very careful to invite people from diverse disciplines. So that's one thing, that opportunity to be with faculty in different disciplines, different levels of experience in terms of teaching, having conversations about teaching. That's one thing that I'm really proud that we have, and I wish I'd been a part of. I was fortunate to go through the Summer Faculty Institute before I was tenured, and Anne Marie Schultz and Dr. Tom Hanks, who's retired now from the English department and master teacher, they co-led it. And that was a real transformative experience. Baylor has been running the Institute for more than 40 years. It's also very distinctive to Baylor. At these conferences, I talk about it, and other Center for Teaching and Learning directors are very jealous and very interested in how to create something like this at their institution. So I'm glad that's still there, and I hope that we're always able to offer that to faculty. Team teaching, I was fortunate to be in BIC from the beginning, the Baylor Interdisciplinary Core, and all the courses are interdisciplinary and team taught. So I was in a class with Robert Baird, former chair of the philosophy department and master teacher, David Longfellow, who's retired from the history department, remarkable teacher, Ray Cannon from the mathematics department, again, seasoned, solid teacher. So for me to be a young novice teacher watching these very experienced faculty teach and learning, on the ground as they're in action with students, that was transformative. And that's one thing I'd like to think about for the ATL, ways in which, with the university support, we can encourage other schools and departments to think about ways that they could create co-taught or team-taught classes. I know the College of Arts and Sciences is doing this now, and Dean Nord has invited the ATL in to help A&S faculty think about how they might approach team teaching and co-teaching. So that's something I'd like to develop further as we move forward.
Exciting. I know that actually leads into this thought, too. You know, education is certainly very dynamic. Students are dynamic. One generation of students learns differently than the one prior. And you think about, you know, incoming freshmen this year will have been born in 2001, which is crazy to think. How much does that factor into some of these opportunities you present to teachers when technology and just a younger generation of students that was raised on that comes in?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're very cognizant of that in the ATL. I think we have weekly staff meetings, and that's one thing we're always looking at is, okay, as we look at our seminars for excellence in teaching, which we run throughout the semester almost on a weekly basis, we ask, okay, what percentage of those seminars should be devoted to tech-related or tech-enhanced teaching and learning or other specific elements of the particular generation of students that are coming in? And it's tough. I mean, we have to pay attention to that. For me, as a teacher, carving out a space for reflection in the digital age is a real challenge. Our digitally embedded culture doesn't allow for learning to unfold over time, and it's really spontaneous. So, you know, helping students just stop and kind of bracket what they're used to in terms of, I just Googled it and now I know, and really to stop and work through a text slowly and carefully, or to reflect carefully on a topic, you know, you have to just take time, and it takes a lot of patience to work with students to do that.
So there are disciplines that you want to build in addition to trying to meet them where they are.
Exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah.
Visiting with Dr. Lenore Wright from the Academy of Teaching and Learning at Baylor. Are there ways that you see the ATL directly? Obviously, it impacts the teachers who teach them, but are there other ways beyond that it directly impacts students?
Yeah, maybe through our Graduate Fellows Program, that might be a good example, or we have a Foundations for Teaching workshop. So these are things designed for future faculty. The graduate student instructors of record, of which we have a good number, and I think it's wonderful that we're already allowing graduate students to teach and enculturating them into practices of great teaching, again, those high-impact practices. Those two particular programs, Foundations for Teaching and Graduate Fellows Program, I mean, we're just directly forming future faculty. And Leary Lyon has been a tremendous supporter. Those grad students who serve as fellows receive stipends from the graduate school to think about teaching and learning, to practice good teaching, et cetera. So those are ways in which we're directly impacting students.
Well, other ways you directly impact, going back to the faculty now, are through some well-known awards at Baylor University, some of which were recently given, whether it's the Collins Outstanding Professor Award, the Cornelia Marshall Smith Professor of the Year Award, among others. What role do those awards play among the faculty? Because you look back, if you look at a roster of who's won those over the years, you see some pretty incredible names here at Baylor.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we're proud to partner with the Office of Provost that oversees those awards. We like to promote them and publicize the lecture. We also record the lectures for posterity so people can go back now. That's our hope. And listen to some of these great award-winning teachers as they present their ideas about teaching and learning. We promote the excellent work they do in the classroom by inviting them to then lead workshops and seminars. We want to tap into their expertise and disseminate it as widely as possible. I think for faculty, these awards represent important opportunities to be recognized for excellent teaching and the hard work that they do with students. For the students, especially in the Collins Award case, they choose that person. And so it shows a real valuing of the student experience. And that's the Baylor way. You know, that student experience means so much. And we want to recognize that and lift it up.
How difficult are those processes? As you mentioned with the Collins Outstanding Professor Award, students choose that. But you think how many fantastic professors there are on campus. And obviously not every professor teaches every student. So what does that process, those processes look like?
And again, that's an Office of the Provost oversight there. Mm-hmm. So the ATL doesn't oversee those particular awards. But my understanding of them is, yeah, it's rigorous. It's complicated. It's competitive. I mean, so many excellent faculty who have been nominated multiple times and submitted their portfolios for consideration. I wish we had more awards. Maybe that's something that ATL can pursue in the future. More awards, more regular recognition of great teaching.
Dr. Wright, we're heading to about the final 3 minutes of the program, but I want to ask you, you know, obviously when you're investing in your fellow colleagues, it's all about the students that you teach, and you have intentionally mentored and advised students, both graduate and undergrad, over the years. What is most meaningful to you? And you talk about that virtuous cycle. The student's a big part of that. What's most meaningful to you about that exchange of ideas and understanding?
Yeah, I think embodying the life of the mind together in that space for a moment. I mean, I mentioned the students have difficulty carving out this space for reflection in a digital age. Well, we do too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we live in this world as well. And so for me, being in the classroom, it's so refreshing to have that moment of living the life of the mind, of exposing students to the life of the mind, of introducing it to them, and helping them discern how they might continue that life once they've graduated, once they have jobs and families and community and church commitments, et cetera. What can that look like for them? So that's immensely rewarding and meaningful to me, to help students in that discernment process as they think about, you know, who am I and what do I want to do? You know, they beyond themselves and their own individual development, our students have the heart of servants, and they love and they want to serve a hurting world. And so that, for me to help them find that calling and help figure out how they can make a difference in the future, is just so meaningful.
You and your colleagues can play that role that Mac Luckey, a great name, played with you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, finally, and maybe this is maybe there's still more to go before you can even answer this, but you just celebrated a decade with of ATL here at Baylor. So what's next? Anything you're excited to take a peek at in the future?
Yeah, we've put together some vision documents that the provost office are looking at, but mainly I think for us it would be external funding so that we can continue our work on a bigger scale. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to create a visiting lecture series, an endowed series, where great high-impact teachers are here sharing what they do and love. Also opportunities for more faculty to collaborate with faculty at other institutions and engage in the scholarship of teaching and learning. I mean, there is kind of professionalism that goes with teaching and learning that I think we're now recognizing and integrating faculty into. And so if I can do that, I'd be, you know, I would sleep well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be great. Maybe there's people listening who'd like to partner along with you in that.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Wright, it's been great to visit with you, learn more about what you do with ATL. Thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me, Derek.
Dr. Lenore Wright, Director of the Academy of Teaching and Learning and an Associate Professor of Interdisciplinary Studies and Philosophy here at Baylor, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other Connections programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe on iTunes.